You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And we're talking a little bit about the Republican National, we were talking about both conventions. But joining us from Philadelphia is Leader Lou Lang, who has been at the convention since, I believe, since Monday. Did you get there yesterday or on Sunday, Leader Lou?
I arrived on Sunday, Patty. How are you?
I'm great. It's wonderful to see all your photos. I assume you're having a wonderful time.
Having a good time, and we're doing good work. We're going to nominate or have nominated the next president of the United States.
And what was yesterday there was a little bit of chaos. There was some conflict amongst the Bernie supporters. In particular, there were the moments when Debbie Wasserman Schultz was trying to speak to the group. Were you in the room during that?
I was, and, a lot of the Bernie people are very zealous, which they should be, about their candidate. But many of them have never been to a convention and are unfamiliar with all the rules and how it works. And I appreciate their involvement. I hope they will stay involved in the Democratic Party and continue their effort to bring us progressive new values. I think they had a lot to do with the way the platform looks, and they should be proud of that. They did not get their candidate nominated, but I think they have helped set up Hillary Clinton for a fine fall and a great victory.
Leader Lou, if Hillary Clinton came to you and said, "Hey, Leader Lou, what can I, if there was one thing you think I could do better, what would you say?" If she came up to you and asked that and really wanted your input, what would you tell her?
I think it's important that she connect with the Sanders people. I think it's important that people know what most of us know about her that are in the political realm, and that is that she does have the people's touch, that she is interested in their problems, that while she may disagree with Bernie Sanders on a few issues, they've actually come to an agreement on a few issues. And her history, as her husband indicated tonight, is one of making change, is one of aggressively going after problems and dealing with them. And I really think in the end, that's what the Sanders people are looking for. And if she can find that connection, it's going to be a very fine fall.
And do you think that, what are your thoughts on the fact that Sanders supporters are demanding certain kinds of rhetoric? I mean, I saw people get upset about Sarah Silverman's joke. And I was a little bit taken aback. And I guess as a comedian, you know, that people were saying she should have been uniting. And I'll tell you something. When we make with the funny, we're disruptors. We're not there to unite. Look to somebody else. Look to your own leaders for that. Don't you think?
I think that her comment was a little out of line.
Really? The one about the ointment?
I was referring to the comment she made that the Sanders people were being ridiculous. I just think that's not her place. Maybe she was trying to be cute and funny. It didn't come off all that well. I thought she was pretty funny other than that. I thought it was a fun time having her there with Al Franken. But I wasn't real fond of that comment. On the other hand, the Sanders folks that want to pick at that and say, well, she's not a uniter, many of them last night spent a good deal of time trying to disrupt. As the evening went on, even last night, it was less and less as people got more and more into it. And certainly today, the Sanders folks, while they were disappointed about the results relative to their guy, were into the spirit of the thing for the most part. And it was a fine and wonderful night at the convention center.
And when Bernie Sanders, he gave all of his votes to Hillary, is that right?
At the end, Vermont passed, and Bernie standing up on behalf of Vermont to give their votes made an appropriate motion to allow Hillary to win by acclamation. It was an appropriate thing to do. Some who have never seen that before wonder why, but he had his day in the sun. He got his votes up on the board and then did the right thing to help unify and unite the party. I thought his speech yesterday was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought if his people were listening, they would have loudly and clearly have received the message that we need to elect Hillary Clinton and we must not allow Donald Trump to be president of the United States.
I've read a lot of, I have you know, folks on Facebook who are on both sides of the aisle. And, you know, I would see, I wasn't even watching from where, what speaker was up. And I would see things like, now I got to listen to this angry bitch. I thought, wow, this is a, there's a lot of hostility. And I wonder how many people are listening to the content. I mean, I listened to some of the speeches last week. And I, you know, the people, a lot of people I know weren't posting nearly as vitriol comments on Facebook or on Twitter. But one, for one thing, how wonderful was Anastasia Somoza, the young woman who spoke last night on being a disabled American and what Hillary Clinton has made, you know, the difference she's made in her life?
Well, you can't have listened to that at all and not kind of melted, right? This is a person who had a lot to say, not only about Hillary Clinton, but about herself. And a person that wasn't listening to the speeches this week, or even the speeches last week, were depriving themselves of the opportunity to learn what other people know about the candidates. And what we found is that the Republican convention last week was filled with darkness. It was about fear. It was about what Americans should be afraid of. It was about all the things that they believe are wrong with America. What you see this week is a completely different story, one that talks about hope, one that talks about identifying problems and resolving them, not kowtowing to them, not accepting things that aren't exactly the way we want to be, and just simply throwing up your hands and saying, oh, well, and then blaming someone for them. Our approach would be, whether you're a Sanders supporter or a Clinton supporter, our approach would be we must move forward. Bill Clinton tonight talked about Hillary being a change agent. That is exactly what America needs now.
And a lot has been made about the consolidation of wealth, I think, as far as, and that, and in particular when it comes to minimum wage. Donald Trump, I guess, has said that it's already, our minimum wage is already too high. He wants to give the states rights to draw that back. And Bernie Sanders mentioned last night, really, the consolidated wealth when it comes to the top 1% in comparison with the 99%. And I was listening to that weirdly in the shower. I don't, that wasn't really pertinent information for anybody, but
I think it's huge.
It's a sense memory thing for me. I always remember being in the shower while I heard him give his speech. I had to get to work, but he was talking about that, and I thought, how do people think that happens, right? Because we talk about how, well, you know, all of our money is going toward all these social services or going to welfare, going to food stamps. Do we really think that that's why we have less, is because we're paying for the most needy, for public works, for roads, for education? Or is it perhaps something else?
Well, it's interesting. Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders have both been talking about the rigged system. But when Donald Trump talks about it, what he means is that the upper 1% or the upper 0.1% have trouble making many billions of dollars more than they're making now because of regulation, for instance. When Bernie Sanders talks about it, when Democrats talk about the system and the changes we need to have, we're talking about how to improve things for regular, ordinary citizens who have trouble making ends meet or sending their kids to college or paying for health care. It's a completely different approach to the problems of America.
Leader Lou, how do you boil it down when, I mean, I'm walking the street or I'm at White Sox Cubs tonight, people are legit terrified that I talk to that Donald Trump is going to be the president. And he polls like 60%, 65% negative. Yet he's leading in many of the polls that you see right now. How do you put all that together where this is even possible and it could happen? And what needs to change between now and the election?
First, I would say that you expect after the Republican convention that there would be a bump in Mr. Trump's numbers. People who identify themselves as Republicans are going to start to jump on board at least a little bit. Those who are afraid don't have to be afraid if they actually go to vote. Today, the state of Illinois has a governor that only won his last election because Democrats stayed home. If Democrats go to vote in this election, Hillary Clinton will be elected president of the United States. If they stay home, Donald Trump will be elected president of the United States. It's really that simple. So instead of being paralyzed into fear, people should be motivated into action, and they should tell their neighbor why they're not for Donald Trump, and they should tell their neighbor why they think Hillary Clinton would be a wonderful president. And if they do those things, it'll make a huge difference.
And it does seem as though Donald Trump really is, when, you know, with a theme of law and order, and we're going to get rid of ISIS. And he said so fast, not that that's a plan, but so fast. What kind of conversations, what are the speeches that you're hearing? What, how are they bringing in national security? Have we heard anybody discuss that?
There hasn't been a lot of time on that issue. I would say, however, that there was a significant amount of time talking about Hillary Clinton's foreign policy experience, not only as a United States senator, but as Secretary of State. And in places that she went, there were a lot of improvements in U.S. relations with those nations. As people know, as they, as I hear and as you hear, as people travel around the world, they hear that the people don't have the world's greatest view of the United States of America or Americans. We need a president who understands all of that to make a big difference. And if we can do that and we can begin to repair the image of America around the world, it'll be easier to find more allies that want to help us in the great quest of rooting the world of terrorism.
Do you another one, Carl?
No.
I think that that's, you know, that's really gripping for people because they feel like the world is such a chaotic place right now. And we have so, and but then we're, you know, there's so many things, there's so many leaks, I think, in the wall, right, that people want to put a bucket and go, okay, how about this? How about, you know, whether it's our debt or it's minimum wage or it's access to health care? I mean, that's another thing that he has said. Donald Trump has said he would repeal Obamacare on the very first day. And that was something that Hillary Clinton fought for universal health care back in 1993. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I've watched this most of my life, the sort of really growing disdain for her, even back in 1993, when you think about the push back against by Republicans with Newt Gingrich and the 100 days. What was it? The treaty? I can't remember what the thing was, but it was basically to push back against
the contract with America.
That's what it was. The contract with America. And, you know, people keep bringing up all these investigations and all, you know, going all the way back to even her days as a lawyer or in the White House. And how do people, I don't know, how would you explain it to people, you know, if all these investigations have really led to no charges? I mean, you know, everyone seems to think, well, if there's smoke, there's fire. But I can't explain it to people, Leader Lou.
Hillary Clinton has been investigated up and down, to and fro, by all kinds of people, including a hours-long investigation by the United States Congress into the Benghazi matter. They tried to embarrass her on national television that went on for hours and hours and hours and could find nothing to talk about in terms of anything she did wrong. The point here is that Donald Trump and his minions do not have anything positive to bring to the table. You heard in their convention last week that they had nothing to say. There was no plan. There was no idea about how to improve America, only to make Americans more frightened about health care, more frightened about terrorism, more frightened about the stock market, more frightened about losing their job, more frightened about just waking up in the morning and living in America. That is not the America that most of us believe in. That is not the America that most of us believe we even have. America is a place where people are hopeful. They want a better future, and they want someone who will help them get to that better future. They're not interested in a person running for president or any other office that is so dark and foreboding. This is not what America needs. We need a person to lead, not a person to scare us to death.
Well, thank you so much for your time and your insight on this. And I by the way, I need to invite you in studio soon because we have a temporary budget, or at least one that gets us through January. So we're having our segments, the Crisis Corner, Now What? So hopefully you can come in studio in the next couple weeks on a Friday.
Absolutely, Patty. Let's get together, figure out a date, and I'll be there.
Perfect. Safe travels and enjoy yourself.
Thanks. Have a nice night.
You too.